light's green. It must be working. Pastor, stay here just for a second. Ken, stand up. Matter of fact, step up here real quick. Listen, Ken and Joan they served in our church when we pastored in Duncanville. Joan was our missionette director for many years. And Ken, I just wanted to show you that we have the same shirt.
Look at this. Look at this. Can you see that? Can you see that? Can I see that?
Now, if we were two women, one of us would have to go home and change.
That's it. That's it.
But, guys, we just say, you've got great taste, my friend.
Yeah, that's it. Absolutely.
And I want to tell you something. By the way, the first week of May, we have our, now they're called Legacy Camp Meeting. It is our senior camp meeting. And probably 3 years ago, this man had never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He came down, we and I got to praying, and God baptized him in the Holy Spirit at the senior camp meeting. Wasn't it great?
Amen.
So, Ken, do you think we need to invite all these folks to come to Legacy Camp Meeting?
Absolutely.
All right. Absolutely. God bless you. Pastor, I'd like for our Plano, that didn't sound right, our Plano presbyter. Our presbyter for the Plano section, Brian McLean, would you join me up here? I don't think you got that, our Plano presbyter.
He got close on the shirt. You see that?
You sure did.
He got close.
You didn't get the memo this morning.
I did.
Sherry, would you join us? Do what? No, I want you to come up here. Yeah, would you mind? Didn't she do a great job leading?
Indeed.
Always does. Our worship and the choir. Now, this morning, we want to, before you open that, we celebrate with you. What a tremendous joy Nancy and I have to be with you today. 10 years, and I was telling Pastor McLaughlin before we walked in here, I just can't believe it's been 10 years. And we haven't got a day older since we started it, you know. But how blessed this congregation is to have such incredible pastors who love you. I think their vision for this ministry is to be commended, and you're here as a result of it. Love them. Now, I brought you something here. I didn't know if you had a box like this. You know, I looked for a box that would be very pretty. You could sit on the wall in your office, and isn't that a beautiful box? White, got the name here, Heritage Church of McKinney, so we could remember today. I thought this would be a great, you know, something. But no, there's actually something inside. And I'd like to ask our presbyter to take this and read this plaque, and we're going to present it to you and the church on behalf of the North Texas District as we celebrate with you this wonderful day. So, Presbyter, would you?
Yes, sir. Congratulations to Pastor Len and Sherry McLaughlin on the 10th anniversary of Heritage Church of McKinney, March 24th, 2019, North Texas District Assemblies of God.
All right. And so, it wasn't really the box, but I did bring it, so maybe you wanted to keep it in there,
yes,
and you know, but we just wanted to let you know how much we, sir, could I turn this over to you to put back together? But I do, before we step down, I would like for our presbyter to lead us in prayer on behalf of Pastor and those of you who serve as leaders in the church, deacons and your other all the people that serve, from greeters to nursery workers, and it takes everybody. You know, sometimes you hear it says it takes a village to raise a child. It really takes a church to raise a child, from the cradle right up to the last. Amen. We don't want a gap in our ministry where our children are not reached, our youth. And I realize that most of us here are kind of in the grandparent stage, but we're still praying for our grandchildren and great-grandchildren, aren't we?
Amen.
But any comment you'd like to make, and just pray a blessing over this church before I bring the word.
Amen. Yeah, one of the things, too, that I shared, and y'all just did it like a month ago, you paid off the loan.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all received a $30,000 grant that you pay back twice as much. Kind of like your house payment. You know, when you sign up and buy the $100,000 house and you wind up paying $200,000 for it. Well, y'all took out a loan from the CP&D, the church planning and development part, $30,000. And part of that is you pay back $60,000 so that you can plant another church. In that, y'all just paid that back. And so we congratulate you on that as well. Thank you very much.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. And part of that is I really thank you, because if you hadn't, I would have had to. So appreciate it so much. Yeah, but let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for Heritage. We thank you for the McLaughlins. We thank you for this congregation, Lord God. We thank you for the vision, but we also thank you for what is to come as well, Lord God, the vision that things to come. Bless this community. Bless this church to reach this community. Minister through them, Lord God, and we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord God, that our days, yes, Lord God, they're numbered, but right now you've got us here for a reason, and use each and every one of us, Lord God. Renew our strength. Strengthen us, Lord God, for the days ahead. And we thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
One more time. Let's celebrate today, shall we? We love you, Terry.
Oh, love you, Terry.
So much. Pastor, love you today. God bless you. Well, I tell you what, I was just shouting in my spirit as Pastor was recounting the giving of this church to missions. Isn't that incredible? I served 10 years as the assistant superintendent, which is also the missions director of the church, and now Pastor Kermit Bell has that position. And but I am so thankful for your generosity. And I tell churches, and I've preached missions conventions here before, but I tell churches, when you're giving to missions, and that money's being sown into missionaries who are changing nations, who are going on the front line, pioneering new works, many of them at a great sacrifice and a great price. But everywhere that you have invested in missions and missionaries across the world, as we meet here today in this church, everywhere they are ministering, because you helped provide the funding for them, Heritage Church is there this morning. Isn't that incredible? So what we see here is certainly not the extent of your ministry. It's going all over the world today. And Pastor, I thank you for your vision. I know it's so heartfelt. And we celebrate with you today. And guys, it's great to see you from Challenge back here. I know it's called something different now, but we honor you, men, and thank God for the work he's doing in your heart. Well, I'm going to watch the time here. You know, there are 16 fundamental truths that bind us together as the Assemblies of God. And that's never changed in a little over 102 or 3 or 4 years since 1914. Well, I guess it is close to 5 years. It's 105 years. Those number one is the Scriptures inspired. How many of you believe? If you believe that my goes through them, you say amen. The Scripture is inspired. The one true God. The deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number four is the fall of man. Number five is the salvation of man. Number six are the ordinances of the church. If you really look at this, it all flows, because after that, baptism and communion both speak of the saving of mankind. And then number seven is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Yes. Number eight is the physical evidence of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And then number nine is important, is sanctification. That's what follows. And then number 10 is the mission of the church. So all of that is to help us fulfill the mission of the church. Then number 11, it takes the ministry to do that. Number 12, how many of you believe in divine healing this morning? Yes. And then number 13 is what I'm preaching on today. It's the blessed hope. Hallelujah, the rapture of the church. Number 14 is the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Number 15 is the final judgment. And number 16 is new heavens and new earth. Now that's what I believe. And all of that, I'm not willing to give any of it up. And so it all begins with the scripture and all the rest of it. So today, we're going to be talking about fundamental truth number 13. And that's a good number when you consider that it's the rapture of the church. Amen. You know, we don't hear these things preached on very much anymore. And I don't know if we have a younger generation that doesn't really understand the Bible, because often from pulpits the Bible is not preached. And I'm a little old-fashioned and I preach the Bible. Because it's the Word that brings faith. I'm not trying to be negative, I'm just telling you that we're... As a matter of fact, our General Superintendent Doug Clay has identified the number one challenge in the Assemblies of God, our whole fellowship, is biblical literacy. People don't know the Bible. So today we're going to take a look at the fundamental truth, number 13, and I'm going to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. And you know this very well, but I'm going to read it and then make four quick points. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's own word, this isn't man's idea, this is the word of the Lord. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and remain will be caught up. Now the word rapture is not in the Bible, we know that, but this catching up is. And there's a word rapere, that's Latin word, and we get the rapture from that. But we're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we be with the Lord forever. Therefore encourage one another or comfort one another with these words. Can somebody say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Rapturo, the Latin word, means to seize and to carry off. And that's what's going to happen to us in just any time. Now, then the first thing I want to simply tell you, four things. First of all, the church is a living body right now. Some of us are in this side of heaven, and some are on the other side. But those that are on the other side are even more alive than we are here today. Now their body may be buried in the grave, but they are alive. As a matter of fact, they're more alive, as I said, than we are. So the church of Jesus today is a living body. And though the body may be in the grave, the spirit is in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. I love that, don't you? Now, the Bible talks about death, and I'm not really speaking on death very long today, but those who have died in the faith, those who have slept. You see, this is 1 Thessalonians. This is probably the first letter that Paul wrote in his ministry. And in these days, there was a great expectation of the coming of the Lord Jesus immediately. As a matter of fact, the first generation of believers believed that Jesus was coming. And so that compelled them and propelled them in their mission. And so as time went by and Jesus did not return, and some of those believers began to die, and they would go through, of course, the process of putting them into the grave, then people began to question what was going on. Jesus was supposed to have come back, imminent return. I still believe in an imminent return, though it's been 2,000 years. But they didn't understand that. So Paul writes them and he says, listen, I want to give you a revelation. I want to tell you that there are some who have fallen asleep, and there's some of us who are still alive. But God has given a word. The Lord has given me a word that there's going to be a catching away in which the dead in Christ and the living in Christ are going to be reunited. Now, that's what we're talking about. That You know, I am gotten old enough in my family. My mom and dad both had large families, and now many of them are on the other side, so it's kind of fallen my lot to preach the funerals. In 2016, into 2017, I preached 7 funerals for my family, including my own father. And heaven began to be a little sweeter. And I would then preach their funerals, and they were ready to go to heaven. But, you know, so this is something that's very difficult for us today. But I want to emphasize something today, that those who have fallen, who are dead and buried, the Bible kind of has a different, softer touch to it. It says they've fallen asleep. Now, we don't believe in soul sleep. And we don't believe in that someone just dies and that's it. We believe that when someone breathes their last in this world and they take their last breath in this world, they take their first breath in the next world. Hallelujah. 10 minutes before my father died, I was weary and sitting in a chair by my daughter. And it was about 11:30 in the evening, And I was just so tired, I thought if I could just lay my head back. And all of a sudden, I came absolutely awake. I turned to my daughter and I said, "Honey, there are angels in this room." My daughter said, "Daddy, did you see them?" I said, "No, but they are here." I knew that as surely as anything. I got up and went over and stood by my dad. In 10 minutes, he breathed his last. And the angels took him to heaven, and I have that peace in my heart today, because I mean, it was like I was just, you know, dead to sleep, almost ready to go to sleep. Oh, just give me some rest. And all of a sudden I'm wide awake because the angels had come to take one of God's children home. Hallelujah. So Paul is writing to comfort these Thessalonians and to comfort us. He also talks about this in 2 Corinthians, as you know. 2 Corinthians 5 and 8, he said, "We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and to be at home with the Lord." Paul said in Philippians 1:23, "I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." Hallelujah. Well, the body of Christ is alive today. Amen. And so this morning we are looking for that imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We only separated. I've stood at many gravesides in almost 51 years of ministry and said to the family, "We're just renting this piece of ground right here. We're not going to need it for very long because Jesus is coming again, and we're not going to need this anymore, because the grave cannot hold the body of God's children down." Somebody wrote a song, "There ain't no grave going to hold my body down." Hallelujah. Well, I better get on here, Pastor. The second thing I want to tell you is that the church, all of us are going to experience resurrection power. Now, those who have died and fallen asleep in Christ, and we've had their funeral, they are in heaven and they're waiting for this moment. We who are on this earth right now, who are the church, we are waiting for that moment when something is going to happen. 1 Thessalonians 4:14, "We believe that Jesus died and rose again." Do you still believe that? Yes. We believe He died and rose again, and so we believe. Listen, I don't like any of this, nothing iffy about this. This isn't any speculation. He said, "We know and we believe." It is this man who said, "I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day." We're not leaving in some kind of unsure salvation here. We know, hallelujah, I know He lived, I know He died, and I know He rose again. Glory to God. So we are believing that Jesus is going to come for those who have fallen asleep. 1 Corinthians 5:20 says, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead." And it says, "The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." Isn't that amazing? He's the first fruits. Now, there were many people restored back to life. Lot was, all right, let me kick it in here. Lazarus, thank you. See, I'm just wanting to see if you knew. When Jesus stood at the grave and said, "Lazarus, come forth," Lazarus was restored to life after 4 days. They didn't have embalmed him, but he wasn't resurrected. He was raised back to natural life. And so someday he was buried again and died and was buried. And so there's the first fruits. But let me tell you, Jesus has been raised as the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. Now, this is the wonderful hope that the day is going to come in which we are going to experience resurrection power. The power that flooded that tomb early on that third morning. You know, I'm glad God didn't wait till late in the day. Don't you like it when it said, "and early on the third"? Early on the third day, God said, "I'm not going to let him stay there 1 second longer than it takes to fulfill what the law said. Early in the morning." Hallelujah. I love the Easter song. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose the victor o'er the vast domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. Hallelujah. When I was a little boy, and that was some years ago. Matter of fact, it probably was before the Assemblies of God were founded. But I sat on the front pew because my mom sang in the choir. And that's when you said, "Whoever wants to sing in the choir, come up. Whoever wants to play, come up." And so I always sat on the front row. And we had an old upright piano. And there was a lady, I'll never forget this, I was probably 4 years old. And she was playing the piano. And she had hot pink high heels on. And she had a hot pink purse to go with it. And I remember when she set that purse down, and I could see those hot pink high heels playing the pedals on that piano. And that was 65 years ago. And every time we have Easter, I think of pink high heels and pink purse. But I also think of those wonderful songs. "Up from the grave he arose." Hallelujah. The church, listen, we're going to experience the resurrection power. That is going to be a transformation of your body. My grandpa preached 64 years and preached all of those years that he believed that he was going to go up in the rapture with the living. And he went on to heaven. And I've been preaching almost as long as, not quite as long as him. And I'm preaching the same message. You're not going to get me to back off of this message. Jesus could come before we have lunch today. We have to live as though we have the imminency of the return of Jesus. Why hasn't he come yet? I'll tell you why he hasn't come. Because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Billy Graham one time said that the judgment waters of God are beating against the dam of his mercy. God is only allowing this awful situation in our world to exist because there's a harvest going on, Pastor, and that's why this church is here today. There's a harvest of lost people, and I don't know the timing of the Lord, but there is a time in which God is going to say, it's time for this to take place. But if it's not today, it's because God is giving one more altar call. He's giving one more universal, worldwide altar call so that whoever is lost can be found. There's one more sheep to be found. There's one more coin to be discovered. There's one more son and daughter that needs to come home. And so God is patiently putting up with the iniquity and the rebellion and the awful perversion of our day, because eternity is a long, long time. Heaven is worth him waiting for that soul. I don't care what they've done, how bad they've been. I don't want anybody to go to hell. How about you? It's indescribable, that place. God has prepared a better place for us. But until he comes, you and I have a mission. We have a mission. Amen? And that's number 10 on our fundamental truths. We have a mission that we may take the gospel everywhere in this world. So Jesus was resurrected, and we're going to be resurrected. And when that happens, there's not going to be any need for any, there's not going to be any more pain or suffering. The body that we have, you know, I don't know. I'd just like to have some hair. I'd like to maybe be about 6'4" and just really slender. I mean, I have my you know, Lord, I hope we don't stay the way we are. But I don't care what I look like. All I want to do is see what he looks like. Well, I got to get on number three. The church is going to be united in one glorious event. Now, this event is going to involve the saints who are on this earth, maybe you and me, but it's also going to involve those saints that are in heaven that are already with Jesus, but their body is still separated from them in the grave. And again, in verse 15 of 1 Thessalonians 4, according to the Lord's own words, Paul's saying, I didn't make this up. This is not a man-made doctrine. And somewhere in Paul's relationship with God and in his walk with the Spirit and in his apostolic preparation, Jesus had given him a revelation. And this is the first time it's told of us in the Bible. This is the first announcement of it. He says, the Lord has said, we tell you that are still alive, I'm repeating what I want to, who are left till the coming of the Lord will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. So those who are dead in Christ, the way we say it, are asleep in Christ, they're going to feel this first.
Glory.
I want you to think about this. There's been 2,000 years. And I feel like the Old Testament saints is going to be a part of this. I don't know, there's all kinds of theories about it. But for 2,000 years, people who have been buried, the Bible says our body goes back to ashes, to dust. Some have been burned. Some have disintegrated. Some have had their ashes scattered over the seas. Some have been burned at the stake. And wherever their part of their body is. But listen, in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, he not only saved your soul, he saved all of you. He took on a form of a body, he became a man, and will forever have that body. He always will. He bears the scars of his crucifixion in that body today. I don't believe in heaven we're going to have any missing limbs or any things that happen to us in this life. I think we're going to be whole. But he took on a body. He said, I became a form of a man that you... I became a child of a son of man that you might become a son and daughter of God.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
And so, he's not... This salvation that he won at the cross was not just partial. It included the redemption of your soul, your spirit, and your body. And so, when it's all said and done, he's not even going to leave your mortal body in the grave.
Yes.
Now, 2,000 years, people's ashes are gone, their body's gone, disintegrated, turned back to dust. But let me tell you, the Holy Ghost knows where every molecule of everybody is. I don't care if it got burned up or swallowed by a fish or if it got scattered over the oceans. He knows exactly. It's not going to be another body. It's going to be your body. And he is going to, in the Holy Spirit, in a sudden nano flash of the power of God, those saints that are dead in Christ today, who are in a spiritual realm that we can't understand, in that moment, he is going to, their body is going to come out of that grave. I don't even know if you're going to know the ground. You know, people say the grave's going to pop open at the rapture. I don't even know. The casket may stay in the ground or whatever. But I'm telling you, that body is coming out. It is your body, but it's going to be resurrected by the power that resurrected Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. He's not even going to leave your body. Death is the last enemy, and death has been defeated.
Yeah.
Am I too loud? I'm sorry. I get to yelling at you. I apologize. The Apostle Paul said, your body is sown in weakness, but is raised in power. It's sown in mortality, it's raised in immortality. It's sown in corruption, it's raised in incorruption. Your body, reach over and pinch yourself. Don't pinch the person next to you now, because just pinch yourself. That body has already been redeemed. It's already been redeemed. So we have tears flow when we have to say goodbye to our loved ones. And I still feel that when I drive by and visit my dad's grave every once in a while. I still feel that. But you know, I know that one thing, he's not down there. He's up there. And one of these days, the Lord is going to resurrect that body and that spirit in heaven are in a flash. As a matter of fact, it says the Lord is going to issue a command, and I'm already getting ahead of myself, but in that moment, there's going to be a reuniting of the spirit and the corrupted, immortal body that was sick and infirmed and could not sustain life. But in that, listen, how quick did it take for Jesus to raise from the dead? I mean, it was a blinding flash of the power of God. And he who was dead, it says he was alive and was dead, and behold, he's alive forevermore.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be our story. We were alive, but then some died, and now we are going to be alive forevermore. Somebody say praise the Lord. And they're going to be, all of a sudden, they're going to be reunited with that body. And then just a split second, it's going to happen faster than you can even read the text. We who are alive and remain are not going to have to die. But he's the same resurrection power that's going to reunite the dead in Christ are going to hit you. And suddenly, you're not going to be in the body you're in today. And the Bible says in just a moment, they're going to get a little bit of a head start on us up in the clouds, their body. I think they're going to be experiencing the resurrection power. And then the Bible says, and then we are going to be caught up, Pastor. We're going to be caught up with them in the air. Oh, what a reunion morning. Glory to God. We're going to meet them in the air. And so shall we ever. That's why I don't believe it's the second coming of Jesus. Jesus is going to come in the clouds of glory, and we're going to be with him riding on white horses. This is us gathering up to him. It is him seizing us, rapturing us up to glory, and we're going to be together again. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, we sing that chorus once in a while, told to be together again, just praising the Lord. Honey, you ain't seen nothing yet till we get to heaven and sing the songs of Zion. Glory to God. Glory to God. The church is going to experience resurrection power together. And we're going to be reunited in this one glorious event. It's going to be absolutely incredible. The Lord shout, the Lord himself. The Lord himself. That voice. I'm going to get ready to wrap this up. But listen, that voice. That voice that the Bible says, that voice is going to wake up the dead. Those who are in the graves are going to hear that voice. This is the voice that stood outside Lazarus' tomb. Thanks for helping me come up with that a while ago. Stood at his tomb and said, Lazarus! Come forth. And I'll tell you what, he was bound up in grave clothes, but he got up and wiggled his way off of that bench. And you've heard people preach this and say it for years. If Jesus hadn't said, Lazarus, everybody in that grave would have gotten up and come out. Listen, this is a voice that's going to sound world. This is the voice that said, let there be light, and there was light. This is the voice that created the heavens and the earth. By his word we are sustained. And this is the command. You know, this is the command of a Savior. It's a shout of command. I mean, he's not the weak lamb. He's not the suffering servant now. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Hallelujah. He's coming as King of kings. And he's going to shout a command. And I'm going to tell you, it's like the greatest commander that's ever existed. It's going to be a command that pierces not only the physical, but the spiritual. And then the Bible says something else is going to happen. And the Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel. And I don't even understand all of that. And it says, and with the trumpet. Now, in Israel's history, a trumpet was a call together for battle or together for holy convocations, are together the people of God to announce a special season. And that's the background of this trumpet. This is that trumpet that says it's time to get together. It's time to be raised and resurrected. This is the trumpet blast to call you home. Don't you miss it, friend. Don't you miss it. Don't, whatever it takes, don't you miss heaven. Hallelujah. Well, the last thing I'm going to say, because time's wrapping up here, the church is going to be translated forever into the presence of Jesus. Verse 17 of chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them. Don't you like that? With them in the clouds to meet the Lord. Oh, to meet the Lord in the air. Hallelujah. So shall we ever be with the Lord. With the Lord.
Yes.
Encourage one another with these words. We're going to be with the Lord. So maybe today, maybe someone here has lost someone recently. And we do weep, but we don't weep as those who have no hope. So I'm just saying, hold on, my child. Joy comes in the morning. Mike, would you come up here for just a moment and help me? This is our fundamental truth number 13. This is the blessed hope.
Yes, amen.
This is the blessed hope. And all that's waiting right now. We're just waiting for that moment. And can I tell you what I really believe? I believe heaven is just antsy. Mm-hmm. It's not a biblical word. I just made it up. I think all heaven is antsy. I think they all know something is just about to happen. And heaven's ready. And you know all they're waiting for? All they're waiting for is for the Father to give the signal. And when the Father gives the signal, wow, the bridegroom has been waiting for this moment of reunion with his bride. Hallelujah. He's going to give a shout. What is he going to say? I don't know. But it's going to be a command that's going to affect the living and the dead. And in that split second, we're going to be with him. All hell's going to break out on this earth after that. And you don't want to be here for that part of it. But how many of you are glad we have a blessed hope?
Yes,
you know what? The church has sung through the years a lot of the old hymn books. And I've got several hundred old hymn books that I've collected. I don't know what in the world that I'm going to do with them. And my wife is telling me I've got to do something with them. I probably have 500 at least, because I let it out of the bag one day that I collected old hymn books. And people started bringing me boxes and saying, don't bring me any more hymn books, please. But you know what? Early Pentecost sung a lot about heaven. They sung a lot. You know, when you're going through the depression and you're going through hard times, you need hope. And they would sing some of those great songs. And oh, listen, Pentecost was characterized by the joy of the hope of seeing the Lord again in the midst of trouble and trials. Now we sing some beautiful choruses these days, but I kind of like some like, I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl, keeping my record right, walking both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this. Can we go to key of G? I put that a little. Well, I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl, keeping my record bright, watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me. Ours to share, what rejoicing there will be when the saints shall rise, heading for that jubilee yonder in the skies. Come on! Oh, what singing, and oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior. And sing that chorus again. Well, oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the skies. With the blood-washed throng I will shout and sing, just over in the glory. Y'all remember these? To Christ the Lord and King, just over in the glory. Well, you can all sing it. Come on. Well, just over in the glory land, I'll join that happy angel band. Over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, there with a mighty host, I'll stand. Over in the glory land, I'll meet you in the morning with a how do you do. This is an old one now. And we're going to sit down by the river, and with rapture old acquaintance renewed. You're going to know me. Now you'll know me in the morning, and I'll know you by the smiles that I wear. No frowns, no tears, no sorrows, and I meet you in the morning in that city that is built four square. One more. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look, think about it, on his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me and you by the hand and leads us through that promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. And we have to do one more. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining, oh, as the sun. Well, thank God, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Could you just thank the Lord for the blessed hope this morning? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just before I turn it back to Pastor, I want to pray. I never want to take for granted that everybody in a congregation this size is ready to meet the Lord. And so I want to pray today, if there's anybody here who says, I'm not really ready. I'm not where I need to be with God. Now, we're all on a journey of sanctification. And even as Christians, sometimes we mess up and we have to come back to the Lord and say, God, I said something I shouldn't have said. Something came along I should have been a part of. And ask him, forgive you, and he'll do it. Take it to the cross. If you need to, run to the altar. Take care of business today. Don't let it go on. But there's some people that have never made that decision, that decision to take advantage of our fundamental truth number 5. And that is the salvation of mankind. To ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart this morning. You know, it became very real to me when I was 12 years old at a North Texas youth camp that Jesus died for my sins. He loved the whole world, but he loved me. And kneeling down, Brother Lynn, behind an old upright piano when I was 12 years of age, at the first youth camp that was ever held at Bedford Ranch, a simple gospel message was preached about Jesus bore our sin individually. And as a 12-year-old boy, I'd been raised in church, and I'd asked Christ into my heart probably after every service in a revival. But I came to a deeper understanding that day that he did all that for me. When the invitation was given, I crawled in behind that old upright piano when I was a 12-year-old boy, and I cried my eyes out. And I said, Jesus, forgive me for my sin. It didn't matter if he died for anybody else in the world. At that moment, he was letting me know, I died for you. There's a great theologian that was running up there in Jerusalem, where a lot of people go to acknowledge Golgotha's Hill, that place, Garden Tomb. There's a lot of people. Years ago, now it's a bus station, where that rock looks like the face of a skull is. Maybe that's where Jesus was crucified. But in those days, there wasn't that bus station. It was more of that skull could be seen. I've seen pictures of it back in the days of this man's journey there. Now it's kind of eroded somewhat. And the guide was leading this group on a tour like we do in Israel today. And this this wonderful Bible preacher ran ahead of the guide. And the guide called after him. He was running up to that hill. He said, "Sir, sir, have you been here before? Have you been here before?" He said, "Oh, yes. I was here 2,000 years ago when he died for my sin on that cross. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? You were there. You were there. I was there." So I'm going to ask if there's anyone here, as we bow our heads for a moment, that would say, "I need to pray that prayer. I'm not where I need to be with God. And before I leave this service, you've talked about the coming of the Lord, and I want to be ready because it could happen any time." So I'm going to ask you on the count of three, if you just want prayer, need prayer, I want to pray for you. And I just want you to hold your hand up if you say, "I really need to accept Christ," or "I need to get things right with God." In the name of Jesus, we're going to pray. So I'm just going to count simply. One, two. Are you ready? Mean business with God because he died for you. Three. Would you just slip your hand up real quick? Anybody in this room? Anybody? If everybody's saved, that's glorious. But if there's any question, don't let this day go by. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the blessed hope of the church. As you gather the redeemed of the Lord from all the ages through your presence, so shall we ever be with you. We rejoice in that. That's why we're here. This church exists to reach a world, and they're doing it. They're doing it through their giving. They're doing it through their witness. They're doing it through their life example. Bless this pastor, his wife, and this church beyond anything they've ever imagined as they begin the journey of the next 10 years. And we ask it all, and everybody said, amen. Let's give Jesus praise this morning, shall we? Amen, Pastor. God bless you, my brother. Thank you, brother.